This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season.
Real live, it is the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. We have a special guest coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about YouTube censorship and how it's being implemented and why it's being implemented. First off, we're going to hit some news stories. Of course, we're living in a time of mass hysteria. The media has contrived this moral panic over white supremacists, over neo-Nazis, over racists. They're doubling down on the same identity politics that lost them the election. In fact, Salon.com came out with an article a few days ago basically saying it's time for progressives to give up on identity politics because it's not working. The response to that article was vehement, to say the least. The very top comment was from somebody who is obsessed with identity politics, saying that this opinion was just the writer expressing his white privilege, so they still don't get it, even though it's been an electoral failure over and over again. They're still doubling down on race obsession and identity politics, which we should welcome because it doesn't work for them. It doesn't resonate. It doesn't substitute for having actual policies, for having an actual argument. But they're still running with it. And part of that is this contrived mass hysteria, this moral panic, of course, which really built up after Charlottesville. Now we've got up in Canada, Calgary police saying that if your child listens to heavy metal music, that might mean they're part of a racist hate group. They actually put out an advisory to parents with a list of behaviors that may indicate your child is part of a racist hate group. Listening to heavy metal music was one of them. Another one of them was not being keen on school. That was one of the characteristics of somebody who's probably maybe thinking about joining a racist hate group. So we see how this spreads. We had the whole panic over Nazi haircuts. Remember that, when Eric Trump got a haircut and they said he was a Nazi? Macklemore had to come out on Twitter, the performer, the singer, and apologize for a haircut that he had a year ago because people said it was the new fascist haircut. He had to apologize for that, even though it's literally the hairstyle favored by the majority of Western males between the age of 18 to 40. That doesn't matter. We're having a moral panic here. This is hysteria. You have to go along with it. Because we had CNN a couple of weeks ago publish an article saying that basically all Trump supporters, 63 million Americans, including nearly 4 million black people, were white supremacists by default. We have an article on Infowars.com today. Former Bush advisor, former Bush official, says that 100% of Trump supporters are racist. People have a backlash against that. And he's like, oh my God, what is going on? People are angry at me. Yeah, you just called 63 million people racist. Of course, people are going to have their say on that. So they're still running with this. We have Gone with the Wind now being banned in some cinemas because it might offend people, even though literally that was the first movie out of which a black actor won an Academy Award. No, we have to ban that. It might hurt somebody's feelings. We have artist impressions of Abraham Lincoln being torn down because that might offend somebody. That might hurt somebody's feelings. And now we have this today. This is out of Campus Reform. Academic conference aims to decenter English in higher education. That's right. They're literally now saying that speaking English is a racist microaggression because the majority of people in the United States of America and the United Kingdom speak English. And of course, those are the two most racist, oppressive nations on the planet. Doesn't matter that they're actually the most tolerant, the most welcoming to immigrants, to the point where Europe has basically committed suicide at this point because of its tolerance. No, we're racist. We have to be punished. And by the way, you have to hand in your research papers. This is not The Onion, okay? You have to hand in your research papers in a different language other than English, otherwise you might be racist. This is an actual story. Worried that xenophobia and nationalism are on the rise, organizers of a recent academic conference invite a
Paul, it's the official social studies world group meeting in Boston. This is the brains of the brains.
Somebody might, it's Babbleism,
Paul. It's Babbleism. They don't want us to be able to communicate. Sorry. We'll be right back.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Today I'm excited to announce the new limited shipment of DNA Force has finally arrived at the InfoWars warehouse in Austin, Texas. We have thousands of listeners on the waiting list who've signed up for AutoShip to receive out-of-stock products at DNA Force, and we are now once again expected to sell out very, very soon. And when it comes to a formula that is such a game-changer like DNA Force, we never know when we will be able to secure an additional supply of the key ingredients. The secret behind DNA Force is its powerful lineup of patented ingredients like CoQ10, systematic enzymes, NAR lipoic acid, BioPQQ, and many others. BioPQQ alone is backed by an unprecedented 175 clinical studies. And just one batch of this stuff costs us more than $30,000. Visit InfoWarsLife.com and read the reviews for yourself. Over 700 reviews have given DNA Force an unheard of 4.8 out of 5 stars through our third-party certified review agency, Power Review. Take advantage of this new limited shipment and get DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com before it sells out again. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
We're live. It's the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. We were talking about the academic conference in Boston, where they basically said you need to present your research papers in a language other than English, otherwise it might be a racist microaggression. We're going to have to start presenting this show via sign language from now on, because it might offend somebody if we're speaking English. That is a reasonable argument. I mean, let's be fair with them. Listen to the justification that they had for enforcing this policy. Quote, this is from the article: while English has become a scientific lingua franca that has been favored in communications and networking across the globe, it is the official language of just a handful of countries, most prominently the United States of America and the United Kingdom. And we, of course, we know they are the most evil, racist countries in the world. I mean, let's not talk about South Africa, where white people are literally being driven off their land and put in cages because of their skin color. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about racism in China, which is basically open and part of the culture, where they literally make monkey noises at people who have slightly darker skin. No, don't talk about that. Talk about the United States of America and the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom is so racist. We literally allow in 300,000 new immigrants every single year into a tiny island nation. That's how racist we are. That's how bigoted and evil and intolerant we are. So we need to be punished. The United Kingdom, white people, William Wilberforce, were literally the first to ban slavery in the entire world. There are still millions of slaves enslaved across the world, none of them by white people, but forget about that. We're evil. We need to be punished. How dare you speak English in academia in the United States of America, you dirty, bigoted racist? You need to comply to this new mandate. That was the actual explanation they gave. They went on to say, they asserted that the current policies of these two countries send a message of insulation and parochialism to the world, explicitly threatening the richness and importance of human difference. Literally the two countries where everybody who doesn't live in them tries to flock from the third world. Okay? So they're so racist, why is everyone trying to get here? Have you ever asked yourself that? But no, we have to be punished. Nobody can speak English anymore. In fact, they should probably have mandatory re-education centres where everybody has to learn Chinese, Spanish, whatever, Swahili. Because God forbid, we should be called racist. Just cut out our tongues and, you know, save some time. I mean, come on. Don't be a bigot. So that's what's going on in colleges in the United States. We also have this. College to offer thrice weekly cuddles with therapy dogs. Again, not the Onion. Would have been the Onion 15 years ago, not anymore. The University of North Texas now offers students weekly healing sessions with therapy dogs. According to an advertisement for the therapeutic sessions put out by the university's counseling and testing services department, students are invited to join Rockstar the therapy dog for some de-stressing art every Thursday throughout the semester. So they might have been stressed had they inadvertently encountered a different opinion. Of course, we can't have that. Every university has to be a safe space. They can't be challenged on any of their views. So these therapy dogs, these therapy puppies have been brought in to help them. Quote, we provide you with supplies to complete an art project designed to increase self-awareness, compassion and gratitude. And it goes on. So they literally bring in a bunch of puppies for them to hug to de-stress as therapy. Which again goes back to this whole depression thing where now everybody has to have emotional incontinence. There's no such thing as stoicism. You have to vent your spleen about every little infraction.
If you see a pocket constitution, you've got to have Plato and, you know, drawing paper like you're 3 years old. It's arrested development.
No, exactly. And that's the video I made a few months ago, Alex, about, you know, this is the daycare generation. They weren't given enough attention in daycare, so they've carried it forward. Now they're being taught at these re-education centres, which are now openly political re-education centres. We had a story yesterday about how one of the new courses, I think this was also in Boston, was the resistance course, the anti-Trump course, literally a political re-education, now overt. They're not even hiding it anymore. They have the indoctrination that words are weapons. So that's how they ban free speech. That's not just an opposing argument. It's literally a weapon that is going to sprout fists and start attacking me. So they have coloring crayons. They have puppies that they can hug. And it's all part of this insanity. But remember, these people are coming out of these colleges. They're getting jobs through all the diversity hires, so they can get a job even though they got some useless degree in gender studies.
Reality winner, top secret clearance, Al-Qaeda operative.
They have diversity hires, Alex, where you don't need to have the skills, you don't need to have the qualifications anymore. If you can claim to be part of an oppressed group, maybe it's a transgender person, maybe it's just a woman, maybe you can claim you're a quarter Swahili or whatever. You're oppressed. You've got some oppression Olympics points. They will hire you even though you don't have the skills to do the job. And that's what many of these conservatives now in Silicon Valley are coming out and saying. They're increasingly working around with people who obviously don't have the skills to do the job. They do have the skills to censor people on the internet for having a different opinion. Hence, we have the YouTube Heroes program where people mass flag content. Hence, we have the new limited state program where controversial opinions are hidden behind an electronic Berlin wall.
So we know the future. During the robot takeover, they'll have the little liberal helpers blocking humans from fighting back. This is the plan.
Yeah, so when we, you know, we deride these people on a daily basis, the point is they're coming out of those colleges, they're being given positions of power. These are the people who they want to run your life. So again, there's this backlash to this, which says, oh, that's just complete idiocy. Why are you even paying attention to it? No, these are your new rulers.
Paying attention, they just cost us $15 million this year, cutting us off, demonetizing us, and blocking us on Google. What the hell do you mean we're bitching? They're running the whole show.
Exactly, and then they go out and start, you know, throwing water on disabled people, attacking women with American flags, pepper spraying women in the face, and big Hollywood celebrities, big mainstream media outlets come out and say, yes, this is moral, we support these people, we support these ski mask-wearing, chicken-necked thugs. Oh, and by the way, they're just like the brave soldiers who landed on the beach at Normandy. Literally, they came out and said that a few weeks ago, Alex. Of course, since, some of them have backed away now, because on the face of it, it was so patently absurd. But these are the people who are now going to be running your lives. You know,
by the way, we're
going to
skip this break and the 50s so you have more time, even though I popped in, Paul. I am sitting here eating my lunch watching you, though. This is really powerful.
These are the people who, we talk about terror attacks, the backlash to terror attacks. Barcelona, of course, happened a few weeks ago. Now it's moved beyond the stage of changing your Facebook profile picture, tweeting, pray for whatever city, fill in the blank. They actually reacted to the Barcelona terror attack, and this goes back to the infantilization of young people, by insisting that nobody share images of the attack, even if they weren't explicitly gory images, which, by the way, people need to see the consequences of the policies that they have advocated. Just any image of the attack, like emergency vehicles or whatever, they insisted nobody do that, and instead everybody share pictures of cats on Twitter in the immediate aftermath of the bomb.
This is pre-AI probing for the global takeover. They're trying to turn off our life force instinct, Paul.
Yeah, they've literally bred this toys out of the pram generation, ostrich-like behavior. Now they can't even deflect from it. They can't even, like, pander to the emotional aspect of it. They can't even handle that anymore. It's like, no, everybody just start posting pictures of cats. That's how we're going to deal with it. Literally, like, sticking their fingers in their heads and going, wah, 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 wah. That's actually what's going on now. So they've moved beyond that stage. And now we see the mass hysteria kicking in. There was a great post a few days ago, which was called A Handy Guide to the Language of the Alt-Left. And this is literally what they've embraced. People have made memes about it. Here's the guide. Here's the language guide to the alt-left. Fascist. Someone I disagree with. Nazi. Someone I really disagree with. White supremacist. Someone I disagree with who is white. Internalized misogyny. Someone I disagree with who is a woman. Low information voter. Someone I disagree with who is working class. Xenophobe, someone I disagree with about immigration. Islamophobe, someone I disagree with about Islam. Transphobe, someone I disagree with who understands biology. Post-truth world, I can't believe how many people disagree with me. So literally, you go down the line, it boils down to that point. Anyone who disagrees with me is a Nazi. Now you've got actual never-Trumpers, ex-Bush people coming out and basically using that argument as we talk.
Oh, yeah,
about
the new guy coming out saying all Trump supporters are Nazis. Your article's up on Infowars.com, but here's the deal. You keep saying, God, they're crazy, but you expose it in your videos about the CIA and architecture and art. They know this. This is weaponized. They know it doesn't make sense. It's weaponized, Paul. So how do we get the public to admit it's not an intellectual debate about left versus right? This is scientific brainwashing.
Well, it is weaponized, and it's not the fact that people are just melting down and becoming hysterical. It's designed to be this way because that is the Marxist goal, to overthrow everything that is in existence, whether good or bad. We're talking about the entire Western capitalist system, the entire Enlightenment set of values.
Exactly. We don't defend all of it. This is an overwrite. They admit it's a total overwrite.
Exactly. And whether they're aware of it or not, the more dominant force that will come in and start to run everything will be Islam, because it's dominant, it's aggressive. They will take over whether they like it or not. Maybe not in the United States, or it may take a long time, but in Europe, that's already happening, and that's why they're now just capitulating and teaming up with it. We had an article out of Germany today, and we've seen this before. Germany, police tell women not to run alone after migrant rapes jogger in park. So you had a woman in her 50s jogging on a Friday morning. It's not as if this was late at night, which would be no excuse. You may understand an attack would be
more
likely.
Cologne last year said, don't wear hot skirts. We're going to ban Germans drinking outside at night. Because you're making the Muslims. So more capitulation.
Yeah, remember the mayor in Cologne, after the mass molestation of literally 1,200 women by 2,000 men, almost all of whom were Muslim migrants, she came out and said, hold the rapist at arm's length and walk around in groups, and that's how you deal with it. They literally gave the same advice. They said that women need to start jogging in pairs, or they need to make sure that someone else is around. And get this is a quote. When they run past someone, this is the police in Germany, when they run past someone, joggers should always look back to make sure they are not about to be attacked. So it's literally, you have to constantly look behind your shoulder.
And they also have the little, remember the rape things in German? Don't rape me, rape bracelets?
Yeah, and I think it was in Finland, they had the force where it was literally holding their arms out and telling them to back off. But again, as he said, this is capitulation to Islamic modesty culture.
Now, it's worse than that, Paul. The mayor of Cologne said, you're wearing too short of skirts, honey. And she's like this fake Green Party feminist. Sorry, go ahead.
And the day after, all the feminists went out to the local migrant center and gave them roses. After 1,200 women had been molested by migrants. So that's how the feminists responded. But yeah, it's this capitulation to Islamic modesty culture. While they bring in hundreds of thousands of people a year from a culture that produced something literally called the rape game, which we've seen, you know, Laura Logan was a victim of it in Tahrir Square, where they literally just mass molest women because they're not covered
up. Let's talk about the rape game and how you're anti-Islam, you don't support rape.
Exactly. And also, of course, in Afghanistan, U.S. troops blew the whistle on Bacha Barzi, which is where the old men in Afghanistan get to rape little boys. And it's okay because it's just part of their culture. And of course, many of the migrants coming over are from Afghanistan. You see boys at swimming pools being molested, being raped, and the migrants respond. They wait around for the police to come, by the way. It's not like they actually think they've even done anything wrong and say, oh, it was a sexual emergency. I was just a bit horny, so, I mean, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about
from Sweden to Germany, they say, when a Muslim rapes your daughter or son, it's liberal.
Exactly. And actually, in some countries, like France, they're hiring lifeguards. They're hiring Muslim migrants as lifeguards to deal with the fact that people are being molested in swimming pools. So it's not let's deal with these people who are all responsible for all the molestation. No, let's give them positions of authority at the very places where those sexual assaults are taking place. This is the insanity that's gripping Europe. This is the capitulation.
Total capitulation.
And we have another article out of Breitbart today, Alex. Swedish summer festivals see over 150 sex attacks, 20 rapes this year. This is getting even worse. The summer festival season in Sweden is over for the year, but reports claim that there are over 150 cases of sex attacks, including 20 rapes at various festivals around the country.
But Merkel says if we make whole towns Muslim, that'll fix it.
Yeah, they literally deluged villages of 150 people with like 700 migrants and said, just deal with it. Oh, and by the way, if you complain about it on Facebook, we'll send police round to your house. That's freedom. That's freedom, Alex. So now we've got this situation in Sweden. We had 3 years ago, massive cover-up by the police that the fact that these sexual assaults were taking place. In some cases, literally women being raped in the middle of a field while a concert is going on around them. This is spiking. There were a total of 150 sex assaults at the time.
And I dare folks to watch those videos. Those videos gave me nightmares. Where they hold a woman down, like 40 guys line up and rape the hell out of her, and the cops stand by and watch. Good Lord.
Absolutely chilling. Meanwhile, over in the UK, we talked about this story last week. Now it's being picked up more widely, more detail on it. Student probed by uni bosses for hate crime after calling ISIS barbarians in mocking Facebook post. This is the guy at Edinburgh University. Let's read exactly what he posted on Facebook. So this was in response to the massive bombardment of an ISIS stronghold in Afghanistan back in April. You remember that story, the mother of all bombs. Robbie Travers, who is a 21-year-old student at the University of Edinburgh, wrote in response to that news story, "I'm glad we could bring these barbarians a step closer to collecting their 72 virgins." So he's literally posting about ISIS terrorists being killed, mocking ISIS, and for that, he's being investigated for hate crime because that may have offended Muslims. Okay, so who's the Islamophobe here? The university is insinuating that Muslims, all Muslims, would be offended by somebody mocking ISIS. Oh, but wait, I thought ISIS had nothing to do with Islam. So the actual, if you want to play it on their level, if you want to get into their narrative, the actual Islamophobia is being committed by the university. You can't mock ISIS, you can't make fun of them, that's now a hate crime, he's being investigated. This is what's taking place in universities in the United Kingdom, while in the US you can't talk English because that's racist. So you can't mock ISIS, meanwhile ISIS is now sending out a call, but don't criticize it because you might...
To poison supermarket food!
Exactly. So they literally want to inject... fruit and vegetables with cyanide. They put it out in their official propaganda manual, and I guess that is technically a, you know, cultural enrichment. And if you
and the answer will be a new TSA to test every fruit, every orange, every apple, instead of keeping ISIS people out, Paul.
It technically is cultural enrichment, so if you don't embrace it, it, you know, somebody somewhere might be offended, Alex. So let's just
so if I don't eat a cyanide apple, I'm bad.
Yeah, and don't make fun of ISIS because that's bad. That's a hate crime now. This is what's taking place in academia. This is what's happening. We talk about it every day. And again, these people are taking jobs. These people are going to be ruling your lives soon. So we've got that going on. We've got the whole...
Yeah, because they know there's 1.5 billion Muslims, about to be 3 billion in 10 years. They're having like 7 kids on average. The globalists think this is a winning formula. They're really going to make us all eat cyanide oranges and put burkas on top of little girls and chop their genitals off with loppers and just run around screaming, Durka, Durka, Muhammad, Jihad.
Well, I mean, the thing about Europe now, Alex, is, and if you read The Strange Death of Europe, which is a new book by Douglas Murray, even if they stopped all Islamic immigration coming into Europe now, and there was never any more, even if they stopped it all, demographically, they would still be the majority in certain countries within our lifetimes. That's with even stopping...
That's right. Did you see the EU vice president say, just get used to it, we're getting rid of all the European countries?
Yeah, I mean, they get up in front of Parliament and say Germans will be a minority, and that's a good thing. You will die out, and that's a good thing, and we'll celebrate it. But it's going to happen. Sweden, ethnic Swedes will be a minority within our lifetimes in Sweden. I'm not just talking about capital cities, I'm talking about the entire country. Ethnic Swedes will be a minority. And of course, who was it? National Geographic celebrated it. The new Europeans is a bunch of blobs in hijabs and Muslim men. That's the new Europeans. Great. That's something to look forward to. And again, it's all based on this premise of eroding Western civilization, of making that bad. Like, we've got something to be ashamed of when the entire history of the world is about warring tribes, is about slavery. Every single major power in the world was involved in slavery. Many were involved in colonialism. We were the first to stop slavery. I mean, even Robert Lee, this Confederate general that they're all, you know, having tantrums about and pulling down statues, he wrote that slavery was evil. He freed slaves on his own plantation. So the very worst example, the very worst guy they hold up, even he was anti-slavery.
And since the founding of the country, when his father was a top general in Washington, they were trying to figure out a way to end it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a whole video about that coming out. This is his quote. "In this enlightened age, there are few, I believe, but what will acknowledge that slavery as an institution is a moral and political evil in any country." That was Confederate General Robert Lee, who wrote that in a letter to his wife. And of course,
he was the head of the Northern Army, Paul. He was the head of West Point. He didn't want to do it. It was all big manipulation. You're going to take over. For the time I popped in, though, we skipped a break, so Paul's good. We're going to come right back on the other side of this break with Paul Watson, hosting from Her Britannic Majesty's London, England. This is Key Intel. The enemy does not want you to hear this because they don't want human success. But we're going to be victorious. Newswars.com.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You deserve a deep, restful sleep with Knockout by InfoWars Life. Our organic formula is made from high-quality natural ingredients such as valerian root extract, L-tryptophan, lemon balm leaf extract, and melatonin. Knockout packs a powerful punch to get you through the night and achieve proper sleep. Millions of people around the world experience daytime drowsiness, but with the rapid speed of life, we need to be able to keep up the pace. Our natural mixture harnesses the power of 10 known ingredients to let your body relax and get the sleep you need. Wake up refreshed and take on the day. InfoWars Life wants to bring you a sleep support formula that goes above and beyond other leading brands at an affordable price. Get the sleep you deserve and experience the power of Knockout. Head on over to InfoWarsLife.com and say goodbye to fatigue. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Paul Joseph Watson.
We are live. It is the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. Before we go to our guest, I just want to mention in this hour, we have a limited time flash special. Get Super Male Vitality for 57% off at InfoWarsLife.com. That is a special that's still ongoing. Please support us. This will be available for a limited time. Support the broadcast by getting the products. We're under constant attack. We've managed to sustain ourselves and thrive through you getting the products. We're not dependent on outside advertisers that can be targeted with boycotts by intolerant, hysterical leftists, which is why we've been able to prosper and are outside of their remit. But only if you continue to support us by getting the products. We also have Emmerich's Essentials line of organic household products. The Oxide Sunscreen, the Herbal Bug Spray, the Mouthwash, the Body Wash. It's all available for 50% off all Emmerich's Essentials products right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Another massive discount to take advantage of while it lasts. InfoWarsStore.com. Right, let's go to our guest. He is... and this is a tough pronunciation, but I'm going to attempt it. Sticks Hexenhammer 666 on YouTube. He is by my estimation, one of the smartest commentators on YouTube on such a wide variety of topics. He's otherwise known as Carl Warwick. Again, another easy pronunciation. But Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. I'm a big fan of your videos. Now, I want to get into the technical details of what's happening over at YouTube with their new censorship program, the whole limited state thing. But first, I want to get into the overarching agenda. We had Julian Assange, no less, earlier today tweet this. I'm going to read it. This is where young men not on the left are now getting their social or political education. This includes people like at Prison Planet. He also mentioned you, of course. He's talking about people going to YouTube, people getting their commentary, their information from video content, not necessarily from written content. He went on to say, while the US left still has its anti-war heavy hitters, the new vibrant English-speaking organic culture is oral and emerges from self-made videos on YouTube and forums. That was Julian Assange in a tweet earlier today. You know, Carl, I joked a few months ago that YouTube was becoming a right-wing safe space because the left just can't compete on there. You've made videos about that in the past. They get downvoted. Their videos either get no traction or they get completely trashed. Of course, you know, it's far easier to spit out a virtue-signaling tweet than to actually take the time to script, dictate, and edit a 10-minute YouTube video. So the question is, you know, how much of this censorship when it comes to YouTube is down to Google compensating for the left's laziness and their failure to resonate with an audience, particularly a younger audience on YouTube? I think it's a lot of it is down to laziness because it's a lot easier to virtue signal on Twitter than to actually sit down and craft a YouTube video that's going to resonate with people.
I think that a lot of it is really on the fiscal side as far as Google itself is concerned. I think they're legitimately worried about advertisers going elsewhere, but the thing is, they're not going to be able to get any of those advertisers back just by pretending to be moral. Everyone knows that ultimately it's about the money. If they didn't have a problem with the ad companies, they probably wouldn't censor anything. They probably wouldn't care. They'd put anything on YouTube and allow it to be there so long as it was making them a paycheck. Insofar as that's concerned, I don't think it's really pressure from the left so much as on a fiscal level. The pressure from the left appears to be brought to bear. They're going after domain registrars now. It's not just Google or any Google service. They've gone after Gab most recently. They've gone after other sites as well. Ad firms themselves. I think what happens is that some group of authoritarian leftists that don't want anyone to have a good time, they don't have good ideas, they're like, oh, well, we can't compete with anybody. We need to lean on the advertisers. So they use the advertisers, I think, as a form of middleman. And Google has to be aware of this going on. They have to know that it's going on. But they're kind of stymied in their ability to respond because they're like, well, we don't want to lose even more money, I suppose.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I just don't see that many successful left-wing commentators on YouTube because they still have a huge traffic on the late-night comedy shows. But in terms of independent content creators, they're pathetic. They get owned every single time, and I think that's part of it. Even like Vice and New York Times came out a couple of months ago and said, yeah, I was right, that the right or libertarians or whoever are completely dominating YouTube. So I think it is a part of the motivation behind wanting to censor it. Just getting into the technical details, of course, we had this announcement from Google last week. I believe they would censor offensive or controversial content, which, of course, is totally subjective. They introduced this limited state. Just explain what limited state means and what kind of videos are being censored right now.
Yeah, as far as I can tell from the list of limited state videos, 90% of them are things that technically do breach the TOS, so I'm not even sure why they're retaining it on the platform. But then you've got the problematic group, which is stuff that doesn't violate the TOS. Well, why is it in limited state? It should just be there. If they're worried about it, then there should be a public debate over the actual content. I don't even think, to your mention of like the left online, there are people on the actual left, as opposed to Hillary Clinton, neoliberal or something, that have made it. They're going to get censored too because they actually respond to some of the so-called offensive content too. They're just oblivious to this fact for the most part. But what it is, limited state is all about trying to hide things away, and it simply won't work. It's already not worked. Some of these users posted stats on the videos that they had had moved to limited state. Some of it was Black Pigeon Speaks, not against TOS, not even really out there. I think one of the videos was kind of out there. The other two, not really. They were pretty mundane. Swan of Tualena, I believe, and others. And when the content gets censored like that, somebody slaps it on a list somewhere, and other people think, wow, well, it must be cool because it's been put in limited state. The Streisand effect kicks in. All of a sudden, 100 times more people are watching it. They simply can't interact with it on YouTube, and that's, I think it's YouTube's plausible deniability at play there, where they don't really care per se if the material is there, but they're trying to appease those same leftists, and so they're like, oh, well, it's good, yeah, it'll spread around far further. We don't really care, though, because all these NGOs that we're working with, they'll be appeased. People will just spread it around off of Google services, so it's all good, I guess.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think one of those videos, and I didn't watch it all, but it was basically a woman in her living room from Finland or somewhere talking about the migrant crisis. That was one of them that was limited to say. This is like, oh, this is the most shocking, controversial thing. Literally some woman sat in front of a webcam talking about things. But like you said, you know, it gives them that Streisand effect. It makes it illicit. It gives it this illicit cachet. I thought they would deal with that by just banning a whole range of things, but right, as of this moment, it seems to be quite limited, the actual number of videos that they've censored in that way. So, you know, maybe it is just a token measure.
Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to move on, though, because, you know, we're short on time. The whole moral panic over white supremacism, fascism. We had Calgary Police. I saw you talking about this the other day. They put out a list of potential characteristics for parents whose children might be prone to joining racist hate groups. One of them was literally listening to heavy metal music, and you made the connection, the comparison, how it's completely flipped. Like, back in the day, it was the evangelicals, it was the Christian right that created this whole panic over, you know, satanic messages embedded in rock music. So it seems to have completely flipped where the so-called progressives are now the Puritans, right?
Exactly. I expect them to start burning albums or something like that, or literally burning books. Like, you know, 10 years ago, we're talking about good, pious, generally right-leaning, at least, Christian individuals are like, Harry Potter doesn't belong in the library. Harry Potter doesn't belong, you know, Lord of the Rings or something doesn't belong in the school. Why is it there? It's offensive to us. So we must suppress it because it's offensive. It's the same thing that they're saying now. It's just different people saying it. But I think part of it is, some millennials, not all, like I'm a millennial myself, but some, or I should say many, they've done what the people who stood against the reigning culture in maybe the 80s did, which is they got older, they got more boring, and now they're moralistic. But they've been imprinted on differently from past generations. Back then it was, you listen to Iron Maiden and Ozzy, you must be a Satanist. You must be worshiping the devil. We got to look out about you, probably put you through therapy. Certainly shouldn't let you speak freely because it's so offensive and it'll cause crime and all these things. Now they say the same thing. The Calgary Police, as you pointed out, they come out and they say, loud, angry rock music makes you a Nazi. So if they're listening to literal anarcho-punk, something that communists would listen to, that also makes them a Nazi. And I think the average person, if they saw it phrased differently, if they're getting this report from the old guard legacy media, they might just gobble it down. But if they hear somebody online, and this is, I think, what they're worried about, satirizing the fact that it's so dumb, then they say, oh, yeah, of course it's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. You know, they were listening to, like, Iron Butterfly or something like that.
And it all comes back to, again, identity politics, this moral hysteria. Salon.com had a headline a couple of days ago, time to give up on identity politics. It's dragging the progressive agenda down. MSNBC this morning was talking about how the identity politics thing just doesn't work electorally for Democrats. Why are they still doubling down on it? But, of course, the top comment call on this Salon.com article was somebody whinging about how the writer of this article saying identity politics no longer works for the left is just expressing their white privilege. So I see a few chinks of light where they're like, actually, no, what are we doing here? This is not working. But I don't see the left giving up on identity politics yet. It's such an enraged, enthused cult right now that, you know, we had
the mainstream media, some top celebrities come out and even endorse Antifa after the whole Charlottesville thing. So they only seem to be doubling down on it. My point I've made is, and this was a point made by the University of Tennessee professor Glenn Holland Reynolds, he said that this rampant craziness, this hysteria that's being ginned up by the establishment media, which results in, you know, Antifa assaults, results in riots, such as the riots after Trump was elected, that is going to cause ordinary voters, ordinary Americans, to clamor for right-wing authoritarianism. So the actual panic that they're engaged in about, oh my God, literally a fascist has taken over the White House, which is, of course, complete bunkum, they could actually ironically bring that real scenario about, right-wing authoritarianism, by their very actions. Do you see something like that playing out, or do you think it's kind of going to simmer down as we get further away from the whole riot and the Charlottesville thing?
Well, I hope that it simmers down, but that wouldn't be historically the case. Usually what happens, we see this in the wake of the Red Scare, the satanic panic. Every time before, the only reason it simmers down is because the whatever group was empowered to be abusive falls by the wayside, to become outdated. Youth rebellion usually boils over, destroys them. And then after 10, 15 relatively calm years, the next generation, as it grows older, does the same thing. It seems to be an innate human characteristic. My hope is that at the very least we can safeguard. This is the big thing about alt tech. If we just safeguard the internet as a place to express yourself so people aren't being harassed, abused, attacked, deplatformed, whatever, for voicing simple opinions, then it doesn't matter if we're in a moral panic. At the very least, people will always be able to speak freely, and as if they can speak freely, good ideas, non-abusive ideas, hopefully, tend to win out over time. If we allow overt censorship of the main mode of human communication, which is the internet now, if we allow it to become too heavily censored and all tech is suppressed, then we probably fall into another dark ages. It would hold back all of human development on just an economic level, not even just a cultural level. It'd be terrible, I think, for this entire world.
And of course, the argument that I've heard many times, and I've made the argument, you know, why don't you just build your own video platform? Why don't you just build your own social media platform? The argument before was, it's pointless, it will just be an echo chamber, you won't be reaching the masses, you'll be preaching to the choir. That seems to have shifted a little bit, especially, you know, BitChute came out with a tweet where they showed their traffic going through the roof after I just gave them a few tweets, you did as well, a couple of other prominent people. You said, I saw a video where you were saying Gab wasn't an echo chamber, that's the main criticism that they get. Mm-hmm. Question is it worth it? Should we just stick to the big dominant forums, or should we actually start moving our content over, at least giving, you know, BitChute the exclusive first upload on the video, things like that? Do you think that is worth it, or is that just a backup measure and we should continue with these main big platforms like YouTube as our primary content generators?
I think the best strategy is we stand and fight on the big sites as much as possible. Hopefully things get better. Hopefully the long-term human trend is bucked. No more problem. Alt media is still there. That will have its own audience. But like, I've been putting my content on VidMe. I do exclusives there. I put it on BitChute. I'm on Minds. I'm on Gab. I'm on Twitter. I'm on everywhere, basically. I've got two blogs for just my books because I can no longer just rely on Blogspot, because I said, well, some people are being, if you look at Jordan Peterson, he gets kicked off even Gmail for something posted on YouTube. So how am I supposed to trust Blogspot? It has nothing to do with my political discourse. It's just where I sell books. But we should definitely try to maintain sites that have already been built. I'm not saying we should flee anything, because that's just the worst possible decision to make, because then that turns into an echo chamber, too. It'd be used for attacks on alt media. It would be freakish. But these new sites that are cropping up, they are growing. They're already not echo chambers. They're already entertaining, so why not use them? As far as a site like Facebook, it's already not entertaining. Facebook is worthless now. YouTube's entertaining. Twitter can be entertaining. Facebook's the odd man out. Why even bother using it? I wouldn't even use it at all if there weren't a couple of people I know in real life that I even talk to there.
Now, I just want to get your take quickly on this new announcement today. Verit
This is the big Hillary Clinton-backed new platform. Media for the 65.8 million. I tweeted, media for everyone who has the same opinion about everything. I went on this site. It's confusing and bizarre. It seems like it's not, you know, aesthetically pleasing. What is the point of this? It's very strange.
It's Greek to me. I guess it's to take vetted information, put it in vaguely meme-like form, and spit it out. But I was on there. They already had one bad-mouthing Bernie Sanders, and they choose just the wrong day to do this. This is why I think their site's doomed. On the same exact day, we get that quip from Hillary Clinton's own book. Oh, yeah, basically Bernie Sanders cost me the election. He hobbled me permanently. He's such a terrible person. I'm proud to be a Democrat. I wish that Bernie was, is the exact line from there. How moronic can her strategy possibly be to think that that's a good idea? She's trying to ingratiate herself to the same, you know, neoliberals, the pro-war, you know, not really fiscally far-left types that are just social authoritarians. They're trying to maintain power, and all they can do, they don't even want to attack Trump half the time. They'd rather attack Bernie Sanders as long as Hillary Clinton wants to do it. So I think she's probably going to take advantage of this site. A lot of people will be alienated, and it'll end up not even just a left-wing echo chamber, but specifically a pro-Clinton echo chamber, and people they'll slowly gravitate out as they realize Clinton's not going to run again. I don't think she will.
All right, we're going to come back in the final segment with Carl Warwick to talk about his YouTube channel. Oh, we're skipping the break. Okay, that's great. Carl, just with the final outro here, I wanted to ask you about your kind of approach to this, because you seem to make so many videos about so many different topics. You seem to have such an extensive knowledge about everything. It's damn annoying, actually. But I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, how do you approach different topics? Do you do a massive amount of reading? I mean, what are your sources for information, essentially?
Essentially, what I try to do, I try to keep up to date on everything that's happening in the world to the best of my ability. And there are some fairly good sites. It's sort of hit or miss because you can't rely upon the old guard. You can't go to CNN or Fox or anything like that. I don't watch TV. You can use their websites as a springboard, I guess, but why would you even want to give them views? Like, I'll archive it if I share the links out. I prefer using 4chan, honestly, above anything else as a news aggregator at this point, because it's simply, again, it's not the echo chamber some people believe that it is, and so you're getting all sorts of stuff. You can get local news an hour before it's broken by the lamestream sort of press. So I try to keep up to date on all of that. I like to read a lot when I can, when I have time. And I just have a lot of interests, basically. That's basically what it's about. And I'm pledged to trying, insofar as I'm able to break the stranglehold of the legacy media, because they've lied to me since I was a little kid. They lied to me with Iraq. They lied to me with Afghanistan. They personally lied to me about basically everything I used to think was reality. And that honestly makes me mad. I don't think that I'm alone in that.
No, I mean, there's huge resentment now against the likes of CNN. Their reporters express bewilderment whenever there's a negative chant about them, whenever they go out in public. But Twitter, it seems, you don't get involved in the Twitter spats, which is something that I do. It's a massive vacuum that sucks up all your time, obviously. But from what I've seen, you don't tend to get too deeply involved in the back and forth on Twitter, I guess, because you know it's kind of a small platform, really, in the aggregate, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Twitter was something that I never even planned on joining. I had originally said I'll never have a Twitter, I'll never use any of these other sites. I was just a YouTuber. And then the far left decided, hey, we want more censorship, we want to marginalize people, manipulate all the algorithms. So I'm like, well, nobody's getting notifications, I need a Twitter account. But I try to avoid direct sort of confrontational stuff. I'd rather just make my own views known, put them out there. If somebody disagrees, that's okay. If they want to attack me, that's okay too. I support their free speech too. I don't care if they're a self-proclaimed communist. They can come aboard. They're never going to get banned on my channel just for insulting me. They would have to go after one of my other subscribers or post something that's blatantly illegal in order to get banned from the channel.
All right, Carl, just in the final minute here, tell people how they can find you on Twitter and YouTube. I guess if you just type in Sticks, it kind of pops up automatically, right, on YouTube at least.
Yeah, so you can search for that or Sticks Hexenhammer 666 on YouTube or Sticks 666 Official on Twitter or on Gab, actually.
Definitely go check out Carl's videos. Really insightful stuff. Carl, we'll have you back on the show soon. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. There goes Carl Warwick. Sticks Hexenhammer 666. That's STYX. If you search for that on YouTube, it will pop up. Again, amazing insight, amazing commentary on a whole manner of different subjects. Let's dip back into the news in these few final minutes, though. I mentioned this earlier. Former Bush official, all Trump supporters are racists. Former George W. Bush Treasury official Bruce Bartlett has claimed that all, 100%, he was very specific, of Trump supporters are racist. Now, this was a Treasury official, as I said, under the George W. Bush administration, also a domestic policy advisor to Ronald Reagan. He posted this message on his Facebook page yesterday. There is no longer any doubt all 100% of Trump supporters are racist. If you don't like it, F you. And then he was absolutely amazed that he had people disagreeing with him. He basically had a hysterical tantrum and a meltdown and went on to basically be really triggered about the fact that people don't like being called racist. Definitely not 63 million people, but he was still surprised that there was an actual backlash on that. Of course, he was mimicking almost exactly Hillary Clinton's infamous basket of deplorables quote said before the election, a couple of months before the election, where she basically said half of Trump supporters were Islamophobe, racist, sexist, you remember it. Again, this is a never-Trumper guy. He gets up on Facebook, calls 63 million people racist, and then claims that he's the victim, boo-hoo, because people were mean to him. This is like a 60-year-old guy. Absolutely incredible. He tried to walk it back. Listen to this. I did not say all Trump voters are racist, nor did I even imply that all Republicans are racist. What I said is that all Trump supporters are racist. That means the people who support Trump now, today, after all his horrible racist statements and actions, those people are racist. Of course, completely failed to name a single one of those, quote, racist statements and actions, but everyone who supports Trump is a racist. This is literally what they've got. We're here in September 2017, and everyone who disagrees with me is a racist is still all they've got. They were up on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, today on the panel admitting that it's not working. Even Bernie Sanders came out probably 6 months ago, probably more than that, saying, look, guys, this is just not working. Calling people racist isn't an argument. It doesn't resonate with people who want to hear actual cogent, logical, thought-out policy debates and stuff that connects with them as ordinary working people. Doesn't work. Didn't work in 2016. That's why Trump won. Partly because people were sick to the back teeth of having it rammed down their throats. Now we've got Salon.com coming out saying time to give up on identity politics. Of course, they got completely rinsed in the comments by their own readers. The very top comment was somebody who was saying anyone who claims identity politics is a losing argument, which it is electorally. They're just expressing their white privilege. That was literally the top comment, upvoted by 200 people. That's what the readership thinks. That's what the vast majority of the alt-left thinks. And they're going to continue to double down on this losing approach, this losing narrative that anyone who disagrees with them is a white supremacist, is a neo-Nazi, is a racist, fill in the blank. And even with the media's contrived moral panic over all this white supremacism stuff, it's still not resonating, according to what the polls say, with the American people. So good luck. Carry on. Carry on with your obsessive identity politics crap that doesn't resonate with anyone, and we'll carry on winning. That's going to wrap it up for the show. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Thanks for joining us.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
MyCozyX is back in after 5.